to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Love you, lean in today, good people. Let's pray together as we come to God's word. From the Middleburg Liturgy, Almighty God and most merciful Father, we humbly submit ourselves and fall down before your majesty, asking you from the bottom of our hearts that this seed of your word about to be sown among us may take such deep root that neither the burning heat of persecution cause it to wither, nor the thorny cares of this life choke it out. But that a seed sown in good soil, it may bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold as your heavenly wisdom has appointed. In your name, Jesus, amen. Okay, we're going to read a good chunk of the book of Galatians now. So if you like to follow along on your device or you have your paper Bible, feel free to open up from Galatians 5, otherwise up on the screen as well. And this will anchor us today. And really, we're continuing. I think it was 2 weeks ago, kind of kicked off in this light, and it's also weaving together with some amazing messages from M. We are the clay, and these are kind of all smooshing together. There is a theme that God is wanting to just continue to permeate, and so let's take a hold of what he's saying to all of us today, and here to anchor us in the word from Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict. There's a battle going on. They're in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and here are some of them. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, from verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Chapter 6, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, that they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. a man or woman reaps what they sow. Whoever sows to please their flesh will from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Take a breath. There's a lot there. There's a lot going on. Now, hopefully as you read that, there is a sense of God maybe even pushing some buttons. A sense of, okay, that the word, like seed received in good soil, that it goes to work producing a harvest of righteousness in us. And so, Lord, would your word do what you have called it to do? What I want us to hear today is I want us to hear the call to even greater freedom in Christ. I want each of us, as we lean into who he is and all he has done, I want each of us to hear this call to greater freedom in Christ today. As I shared a few weeks ago, Mulholland shares his definition for spiritual formation. And so spiritual formation is a process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. A process of being formed into the image of Christ for the sake of others. And here, even in this passage, we see some elements of this from 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. It's being formed, it's being transformed. We see the fruit of the Spirit. This is the outworking of this glorious work of God that begins in us, and then the Spirit comes to transform every part of who we are to look more like Jesus. We see from 5:25 this keeping in step with the Spirit. This, when we give our lives to Christ, there begins this pull, this call, this internal call to freedom, to follow his still small voice, to follow the word, to become and to see this transformation start and continue in us. From 6:8, we see this sowing not to please the flesh, that as we live in the old way, sowing to please the flesh, then in that space, there is a harvest of flesh, that it does not produce what we ultimately want it to, but we can sow to please the Spirit. And in that place, then life is what we begin to reap and others around us begin to reap. And there is this call for you and I to even greater freedom in Christ. And so we're leaning into that again today. So to help me do this, I would like the newly engaged couple who don't know this is happening. So Ben and Tessa, just come join me on stage for a moment, okay? Just come join me on stage. So, okay, so on your way up, Em has something that she's going to pass you, so you can just connect somehow and you can grab one. Yeah, great. Come and join me. So you can see, look how excited they are. Just think of this, it's a bit like your wedding night, okay? Just be excited. Sorry, that probably shouldn't have. Forgive us all. You see, we're all the process of being formed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. Okay, so if you can just switch places here. And so Ben, you can just go a bit further that way, okay? It's all right, you still love each other. Still good, and it's good. You guys are awesome. So thanks for helping out today. Really appreciate your leaning. And you couldn't really say no. That would have been really, really awkward. Okay, and so you can see up on the screen here, we're kind of connecting a few thoughts. So if this is your first time here and you've missed the last few messages, you catch up really quickly. And so here is this kind of demonstrates this image here. It demonstrates this process that God has us on. And so if this is you in the middle here, when you give, you can see there's a cross in the heart. This is you surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. Okay, so it's that moment. I'm a sinner. I need a savior. God, lead me in to the freedom that you have. And so well done, Tessa. You have made that decision. Your fiance, we'll get to him. We'll get to him. So this is the decision where eternity is shaped in a moment. And the life of God becomes ours. It's this glorious, this like instantaneous regeneration where we're made new in Christ, we're alive in Christ. And so this is a spiritual reality inside of us. Now the reality is there is a earthly reality and all of our ways of being in the world, how we show up in the world, all of the parts of us that are still connected to the flesh. And this is the process that now through a work of the Spirit inside, through the victory of the cross, then we begin to change. There are all of these areas that look like what we used to before the cross, or look like brokenness that's been passed through our family for generations, and it just seems like normal life, but it's a pattern of responding to emotion that is so short of what Christ calls us to. And so as we receive him as savior, he wants to go to work in that area. So then how we respond to conflict and or in relationships or whatever it is, it looks more like his kingdom coming to earth rather than the brokenness that may have been alive previous. And so all of these areas around the outside, these are just examples of what Christ wants to transform for you as we let him into all of these parts. So when we think of our future, our dreams, our goals, that when Jesus is allowed into that space, he wants to bring his life, his freedom. And so it's not clothed with whatever prideful idea might live in us about our future and how I need to accomplish this by myself, or whatever clothed in insignificance it may be, that I'm a no one and I'm going to achieve nothing. He wants to liberate us from both of those extremes and everything unhealthy in between. So when we see the future, we see Christ alive in us and him guiding and leading us to a future that truly impacts others in the most beautiful of ways, according to his call and his gifts placed in us. And that is, man, what an adventure that is. And so, okay, so this is, I think you've got this, okay? I think you've got that. And so here we have, and so we're called to this place, to live in this place of continually being transformed, and Tessa has made this decision. And yes, Jesus, come and transform me. And now, then a whole new, there are, you know, as you guys get married, there are going to be a whole lot of wonderful moments and challenges that arise. And it becomes another opportunity where through now life circumstance, there are opportunities for even Tessa to see, even as she represents this so well, that, okay, there are parts of me that still revert to me in the center. There are fleshly things that are coming out of me in the way I respond. And it's an opportunity when Tessa sees this in the marriage journey, just like in the youth leadership journey. And Tessa's been an amazing connect group leader to Millie and many of, Millie's our daughter, if you're new here, and many other year 12s who are all graduating. And so in the leadership journey, there are things that God exposes in us where we're like, okay, wow, where did that come from? And it's an opportunity then for us to go, okay, Lord, I surrender that to you. Form me more and more into the image of Christ, this part of who I am. But the reality is there is always, for each of us, there is still going to be a pull here. If the eye represents the flesh, the broken parts of us, the things that we're called to put to death. And so, sorry, you've got this one, man. You are far more than this. You are far more than this, okay? But this call's loud. It has claws. And so you and I, even as we are here today, there are choices that we can make to see the victory of Christ come into areas where maybe we're clinging, saying, I still want ownership of this area. God, you can have some of this where it's comfortable, but some of it, and maybe it's that conscious, maybe it's not. But we make choices about where we're letting him in or where we're just going to settle and go, I know the victory of Christ could look like this, but I've tried a few times. I had a conversation this week about this very thing, an area where someone has just allowed this brokenness to live in them and gone, while this could destroy everything, I still want to have more say in this area. And therefore, I want to keep living broken, keep seeing fleshly results, miss out on the wonder of God alive in this area, miss out on the freedom he's calling me to, miss out on the results of that freedom blessing others around me in profound ways, because I just want to cling to it. Like, it's ludicrous when we actually look at it for what it is. But in the moment, or in moments, or these areas that have become strongholds, it doesn't seem ludicrous at all. It seems like the right thing is just, I want to hang on to this, especially when it feels pleasurable. So I want us to be really real and to hear the call of Christ to even greater freedom. You guys are doing great. There is a lot of standing around, so thank you. I should prepare you. Actually, maybe just to add some excitement. So Ben, if the flesh was calling you, what would that look like? If the it's a physical demonstration of if it was just calling and calling you back to the darkness, not you personally, just generally for everyone. It's just look seductive. He's like, I can't be any more beautiful than what I am now. So it's into the shadows. Okay, there we go. You're smart. He moved into the shadows. And, you know, it's interesting. And so just to take this, this hadn't entered my thinking at all. As we were worshiping today, I went, there are some guys here. And look, maybe it's some girls as well. And you need to really kill the porn thing. And so prophetically, Ben stepped back into the shadows and God just brought that to mind. And so that's an area of our life you're called to have freedom in. We don't have to be in bondage. And so there is so much a part of this where if we hear the call of Christ to freedom as opposed to the call of the flesh to pleasure, momentary pleasure that ultimately leads to death, then as we hear his call, we can start to reframe this thing. And so if this is something for you, don't live bound with this. Where your mind, as we prayed, we have an intercessor's prayer meeting, and one of the things that just came out of nowhere is thought prisons. And so we started praying against thought prisons. And so this is porn and other things becomes like a thought prison where we're actually locked. You see, our imagination is a glorious gift from God, being given to humans to dream, to see a kingdom reality. The prophetic lives so much in that realm of imagination, and for our imaginations to be redeemed by the glory of God, for there to be a work of the Spirit that causes this thing to dream of what the world can look like for his glory, what our family, what we can look like as he continues his work, then that is just the most glorious place. But the enemy wants to come and make your mind like this thought prison, locked and stuck. And then you believing that is how it is and maybe how it's supposed to be. And this is all while we've said, yes, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And so I want you to see today, Tess, can you just take a few steps this way? Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. You can keep going. That's good. that where you thought freedom was in Christ, maybe it's actually, it's even more glorious. It's even further. And so we've done this journey, and you know, we can never understand the fullness of who God is. The freedom that he wants to bring into our lives is too much for us all to just cognitively understand. He calls us. And so I want you to see there is even greater freedom. And when we hear this as a call to adventure, when we hear this as the glorious King of the universe calling you, saying, come on, take a hold of my victory. Let a work of the Spirit continue in every part of who you are, that we could see the glorious image of Christ reflected more and more, that when you walk into work, you shine more radiantly for the King of all kings, because his victory lives a little more supremely in you. And that this would continue for us day by day, week by week, year by year. And so what I am wanting us to do today is to lean into a yes. Yes, I'm in. Yes, I'm in. And whether you feel like, if you like Tessa and you're kind of here and it's like it's really close, you're like, I don't know, the sinful me, the Jesus version of me, they look really similar. If you lean into the yes, then you begin this journey with him as he leads you step by step, transformed into the image of Christ. The greatest gift we can give anyone around us is to look more like Jesus Christ, not through our human efforts and striving, but allowing through openness, through just holding ourselves open before God. Search me, know my heart. I'm a sinner who needs a savior. Come and do miracles in me. Man, this is what we need to see more and more across the body of Christ. And you see, the fruit of the Spirit, fruit grows. And as we allow this work of the Spirit, then what we see here is greater love breaking out in all of these areas. Love, joy, peace. First three fruit of the Spirit, that as we allow work of the Spirit, love forms in us. And so if you're a parent, there is a greater love you can have for your children. The more we allow a work of the Spirit in us, that is profound and goes beyond earthly levels. Because that's who God is. So he calls us to be. There is a greater love if you're married for your spouse. To do marriage God's way, there has to be more than just earthly love. So there's a supernatural component that takes it to a whole new dimension. And man, do we need his help to love each other. It is so easy to not. Just look around. It won't take long. You'll find someone that you can be annoyed at. Like these two on stage, just annoyed that they have to stand here the whole time. Don't have to look far. Enjoy this deep inner joy. You know, it's interesting, the context of Galatians, there is such a relationship frame. And all these letters, these epistles written to the early church, like there is so much advice and call to do relationships well. Because it's this the profound power, like we need each other to do this well. You can't get anywhere near the freedom you're called to have if you don't engage in Christian relationships the way God is calling you to. Like you might only get 10% of the freedom that he has for you, but to engage fully relationally. We had one of those moments this week where God just sovereignly called us into a moment with some people really special to us, where a relationship that was deep just went a whole lot deeper. Where there was repenting before God, apologizing to each other. There was talk around how do we do this better moving forward? How do we see the victory of Christ come alive in this scenario in us and through us? And as we lean in, God provides opportunities. Sometimes our stupidity creates opportunities that then God will use. I Hey, I think you guys are good. Do you want to just place the signs down on the stage? We're good. Thank you, guys. Can we, yeah. I did think when I was prepping this, should I get people up or I probably just should get a stand to hold the sign, but I like you guys, so that worked well. Thank you. Dallas Willard in Renovation of the Heart, he says, the revolution of Jesus is a revolution of character, which changes people from the inside through personal relationships with God in Christ and with others. It's a revolution that changes ideas, beliefs, feelings, habits of choice, bodily actions, as well as social relations. He continues, genuine transformation of the whole person into the goodness and power seen in Jesus remains the necessary goal of human life. Once our spirit comes alive in God through Christ, the lengthy process of subduing all aspects of the self under God can begin. This is the process of spiritual formation. The aim of spiritual formation is to bring every element in our being, inside and out, into harmony with the will of God and the kingdom of God. And he then goes on and talks about there's layer upon layer of habitual self-deception and rationalization that needs to be unraveled for a work of the Spirit to call us into even greater freedom. Hear his call to freedom. There's more. I chatted with a beautiful lady in our church on Wednesday night who is in her 70s, and so one of the things we did in prayer on Wednesday night gather was I handed this out and just said, hey, what's God saying to you about an area for transformation to come in? And here's a lady who's walked with God for, I would guess, 50 plus years. And as we're chatting afterwards, she looked at the sheet in the moment we had to do that. And she was telling me after, she's like, I looked at it and I went, oh God, it's all of it. It's all of it. What a beautiful, humble spirit. Let's be like that. Let's not pretend. Let's be real before him. He can't transform what we don't present. And so, Father, we just want to present ourselves before you afresh. God, not hiding. Not feeling like we need to hide, but responding to this call that we hear on the inside through that gentle, sweet voice of your Spirit calling us to freedom. We thank you that in Christ, freedom has been earned on our behalf. We don't manufacture it. We don't have to crowbar ourselves into someone we cannot be, but we're simply letting your Spirit shape us into who you've always seen us to be. And so form us more and more into the image of Christ, oh God. 2 Corinthians 3, and I used this scripture last time, talks about how we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, ever-increasing glory. Transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. And I just, you know, there are so many things that are in my heart for us as a church. As we present ourselves to be transformed by him, it's like everything else gets taken care of. You see, we have a call to the world. Take the gospel to go with the gospel as we allow the life of Christ, the love of Christ to continue to transform us. So there's a natural then motivation to go. We don't have to manufacture it. We just, it's a, if we're not feeling a deep sense to reach out to the lost or to the broken, then we're like, well, I just haven't allowed a work of the Spirit to transform me in that area. I'm still more selfish than I'm called to be. And so God, I just open up and I say, come, transform me. Do your work. And then we take steps. And so two words that we've used the last couple of weeks is this takes courage and this takes intentionality. He does the ultimate work. We partner with him in that work, but the power is his. This takes courage to actually face the stuff, to be real, to not put on a Christian facade and, oh, it's church, I put my Christian skin on. I go home and take it off. When I'm with the boys or the girl, I take it off. When I got my screen, I take it off. Or when it comes to this area of my life or my thinking, or what I allow myself to do. And so we have this pull to live here in moments that I feel, you feel. And then there's this sweet call to freedom. And to step towards freedom, it takes courage. And it takes intentionality. And so, church, I want us to own that heartbeat. And we're going to worship. I'm going to open the altar. Actually, if the band can come and join us, that'd be fantastic. Thank you. And I just really quickly, I want to get practical. And when I do messages like this a couple of times a year, when I feel led by the Spirit into this place, it's often very not practical, doesn't have clear next steps mapped out. But I want you to see again some of how we see this out working and the way our purpose circles work. And so for us to make a decision to follow Christ, it's, you see in the center of the circle, it's Jesus is now in the center. He's our why. He occupies central place in our heart. And that's that decision. And then how do we live that? How do we then work with God on the planet? How do we see his kingdom come and his will being done in our lives and the lives of others? The how is so much the second circle. And these are timeless spiritual disciplines that we're called into. And they're representative. These purpose circles do not contain every bit of theology and doctrine on the planet. So let's not overshoot here. But he calls us to a place of prayer. If we're avoiding prayer, we're avoiding transformation. He calls us to strengthen the word. If we're avoiding the word, we're avoiding transformation. He calls us into discipleship community where there's vulnerability and there's prayer and the word together in community. If we're avoiding the depth of that we're called to go, we're avoiding transformation. And so much of the image of Christ that he's wanting to form in us, it remains unformed. And so we carry the seed of potential on the inside. We hold our salvation. And that's wonderful. Praise God. But there is so much more that he is calling you and I to. And when we see it as an adventure, a call to freedom, let us step in that direction for his glory. For his glory. And so when you look at the purpose circles again, see it as this is a call. And then the outworking of that is those outer circles. It's the fruit of us letting Jesus really live and the wrestle and the daily repentance saying, God, I've walked over here again in the way I responded. And what stirred in me and what I just did or said or looked at or didn't do and avoided. And so we're quick to repent. God, forgive me. Form me in the image of Christ. God, forgive me. Form me in the image of Christ. And we dive into the second circle and build a robust habit of prayer that we go to work at. And so much of Wednesday night is helping train us to be a people of prayer. And so if there's something resisting that, man, step past that. We need to build our private and corporate prayer muscles for his glory and to dive into the word, dive into community, These spiritual disciplines, timeless through the church for centuries. This creates the atmosphere, this creates the condition in the soil of our heart for supernatural seed to grow and the fruit appear.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.